morning to you all, and knowing that I was always sizing up how you are in the music, and I'm like, ooh, it's going to be a tough crowd this morning. Oh, we're just very, very quiet this morning. But we'll see what God does here in the Spirit. But just be positive. Next month is spring, so there we go, right? Yes, it's coming, it's coming. But I want to share some things with you today. I think some of us in this church, even in this church, some of you have struggled with your salvation. Some of you have struggled with what you believe. I want to share some things today. I want to maybe take a little bit of meat today. And I know we preach on hope a lot, and that's always in our messages as well, and it will be with this one. We preach a lot of things on helping people with problems. We preach a lot about and teach a lot about, you know, going God's way, staying on the right track, those kind of things that help you. But we're going to touch a little meat today, and it might even spin a little bit of you. You may not be in agreement with me on a couple of things, but we're going to share through God's Word as a part of this Baptist church. We should be on some of the same page. Amen? This is what I always say. You're never as smart as you think you are. You're not as smart as you think you are. Not as smart as you think you are. Holy Spirit still got things, wants to teach you. Anytime I get in a room where people think they're smart and they're super smart, I walk out of the room. I go somewhere else. Because those type of people, all they want to do is talk and tell you how wrong you are and what you believe instead of trying to help you. Amen? Sometimes it can be pretty wise people, but still sometimes you have to step out of the room. But today I want to share, I just want to go with my intro here this morning. I want to tell you how to get to hell. That's what I want to do. I want to tell you how to get to hell first. Okay, I know it sounds really weird, but how does a person go to hell? Well, you know, you can be a nice person. You can join the church. You can do all kinds of things. You can break the law. You can keep the law. You can be a good citizen. You can be in the military. You can even die serving your country. You can do all kinds of things. And all kinds of things is what leads people to hell. It is sin. How do you don't go to hell is only by one way. And that is through Jesus Christ. We're going to share that a little bit today. But I do want to read this out of Matthew, some scriptures this morning. But Matthew chapter 7, it says, enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the road is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who go through it, or many who find it. How narrow is the gate and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it. People are trying to find another way. Always trying to find another way to get to heaven. Always trying to find another way. Always trying to find another way. I want to share something with you. This isn't my research. It's Pew Research. If you know them, they are biased. They're biased. And so they put out a poll that I want to read to you today a little bit about more Americans that we do believe in more. We do believe Americans do believe in heaven. And Americans do believe in hell. But I want to share those numbers with you today. Just a little bit. So Christians, most Christians, 92% of Christians believe in a heaven. 79% believe in hell. I would tell you right now, they're not reading their Bible. That's a fact. Because it doesn't depend on what you think. It's about God's Word. Men, 68% of men believe there's a heaven. 59% believe there is a hell. 78% of women believe there is a heaven. And 65% believe there is a hell. Now let's break it down to some ages. 18 to 29, 63% of people that are 18 to 29 believe in heaven. 55% believe there is a hell, about half. Ages 30 to 49, 69% believe in a heaven, and 59% believe there is a hell. The largest group is 50 to 64. You remember a few months ago, you'll hear me preach sometimes, I'll say, hell is full of grandma and grandpas. Wait till the next one. Ages 50 to 64, 81%. 81% is your highest. 50 to 64 believe that there's a heaven. And out of that, the highest also believe, 70% believe that there is a hell. And again, it doesn't matter what you believe. It matters what God's Word says. And then we go to 65 and above. 79% believe there's a heaven and 62% believe there's a hell. Kind of shores up the thing that there is a lot of grandma and grandpas in hell, doesn't it? But also even goes down even to the political parties. I'm not even going to read you the political parties because it's going to sound like I'm more excited. Again, it's not my poll. It's not my research. I'm just reading from Pew's research. But let me just give you one more piece. The areas of our country. Northeast United States, 68% in Northeast believe in heaven and only 51% believe there's a hell. Midwest is the highest. Everybody talks about the South, huh? Midwest believes 79% of people in the Midwest believe there's a heaven. 67% believe there's a hell. Now, this is the awkward one. Down south, 77% believe. They believe less than the Midwest that there is a heaven. There's 77, they're 2% less to believe in heaven than the Midwest. But the South believe there's a hell more than the Midwest. It's that preaching. That's that hardcore preaching down there. That's 69%. They're 2% more likely to believe that there's a hell than those in the Midwest. And then you have the West at the lowest, 65% believe in a heaven, and 54% believe that there is a hell. Isn't that something? Whether they believe in hell or not, the category they got least was hell. Nobody wants to believe that there's a hell. No one wants to believe that there's a place of pain and suffering. No one wants to believe that a God would send people there. Let me remind you, God did not send people there. We go there on our own. God takes us to another place if we do it by His way. He takes us through His Son, Jesus Christ. So how does a person go to hell? They go on their own. They go by their own sins, their own unrighteousness, and their own unbelief. You know the problem with Americans and the world is today, we believe our own junk. We believe that we're so smart. We believe that science can teach us everything, and science can teach us a lot. But you know what? Science seems like it always goes back to the Word of God. So I want to talk to you today about righteousness through faith that is in Jesus Christ. We're going to come to some things that you may struggle with, but let's climb that hill together. Is that all right? Some of you are going to hear this for the first time. Some of you are going to like, yep, I know where he's going. Let's go here. Romans chapter 3. We're going to be in Romans a little bit today, and we're going to be in Ephesians. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been revealed, attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, since there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Here we find out that the righteousness of God is through faith. That's how we become righteous, is through faith in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. I still sin, and so do you, but I am righteous to God. So are you. Because we are through Christ, but it is in Christ alone. What's it say? The righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ. To who? To all who believe. Now, I understand some of us came from a hard road. We had some bad junk in our life. Scriptures, we don't have time to go there, but says we are a new creation. Quit going back and always talking about all the stuff you used to do. Be the new creation. See where God is taking you to. Some people like to stay in the, so you know, I gotta be careful what I say. You know, I could pick a church. If I wanted to go to a gloom and doom church where all I want to talk about is drugs and addiction, and all I want to talk about is all the pain and suffering and all the sin, you can find those churches, even in this area. You can find those churches and just get wailed up on that stuff all the time. And I want to tell you this, your foundation, you will be about an inch thick on your foundation. Because all you do is talk about salvation. All you do is talk about what God's brought you from. And you don't understand it. And then when you have a problem, they go back and do it again, and they come back, and now they got to get saved again, which we're going to talk about again later. It's time to grow up. That's what I'm telling you. Christians today, we have to grow up in our walk with the Lord. We have to grow up in our knowledge of the Word. We have to grow up in the knowledge of the Word. It isn't just about helping people. God wants you to be solid when you start to help people. He gets it when you first start, but as you grow in your walk with Him, it's time to grow up and be mature, strong Christian men and women. And the church needs to be solid. Doesn't mean we stop helping people. We're going to keep helping people. We're going to keep coming in. We're going to have struggles. We get it. But let's not live off the struggle. Let's figure out how to get through it together with the Lord and the Holy Spirit and move on to the next thing. We're doing a lot of triage here, which means emergency help. But we got to get to the part where we do some scriptural teaching, discipleship, which is surgery, where there's a change that's going to happen. A lasting change. Then he says this. So our righteousness is of God is through Jesus Christ to all who believe. We got it, right? Amen? You got to help me today. You got to let me know because I'm being loud today. So amen? Amen. They are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He says, now you're justified. They, those who believe, are justified. You are justified today. Why? Because of his grace. How? Through the redemption of what? And who? Jesus Christ. It's going to keep coming back. We're going to take this ride this morning. And it's going to keep coming back to you and Jesus. You can't do anything without him. And when you do, you get yourself in trouble. Then he says in verse 25, God presented him. Now God's taking a step to the side. He's going to teach us what happened and how it happened. Okay? So he says, God presented him as an atoning sacrifice in his blood, received through faith. Okay? All right? To demonstrate his righteousness. A lot going on there. God's doing it all through Jesus. Okay? To demonstrate his righteousness because in his restraint, God passed over the sins previously committed. God had a different way, a system in. However, God does, that's his business. He's boss. He's boss. He's the creator. This is his world. It's his mud. It's his trees, his ocean. It's his sea creatures that nobody else can see, and they're still finding new ones. He already knows how many there is. He knows what he's created, and sometimes he might just leave some for himself so nobody, no human eyes even see it. It's his business. This whole redemption thing is the way that he wanted to do it. And he shows you by his love, by giving and offering his son, that we might have be redeemed from a lost and dying world and our lives heading to an eternal damnation. But instead, because he loves us, he offers us eternal life, but only through his son, Jesus Christ. So God presented him to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so that he would be righteous and declare righteousness, the one who has faith in Jesus. So we are declared righteous. We are righteous because here it is, the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. Woo! So today, I can be righteous. Doesn't make me better than you or better than the world. It's just righteous, which means righteous means morally right. Okay? Morally right, being correct right, being justified. Unrighteous means wicked living, sinful living. God knows that I'm a sinner. But he made me righteous and he sees me through Jesus now. He doesn't see those things. When he asks for forgiveness of sin, he forgave and he forgets and he throws it away. As far as the east is from the west. To remember them no more. But we keep bringing it up. And we bring it up because sometimes we're not done with it. Sometimes we haven't fully given it to Him. What happens when you drive a car with two hands on the steering wheel? There's a fight for control. We say we see those stickers, God is my pilot, or Jesus is my co-pilot. Folks, I'm just sitting in the back. When I grab the wheel or even close to the wheel, I want to control it. And it ain't going in the right direction. So I'm just going to sit in the back seat and take the ride. I'm still from the rear going to say, hey, you missed a turn. Hey, you're going the wrong way. Hey, you're going the long way. Hey, you're going the long way. Yeah. Turn over to Romans chapter 5, where faith triumphs. There's a lot happening here. Some of the most difficult, I say a couple of the most difficult book in the New Testament, many would say that it's Revelations. If you really read Revelations, you can figure a lot of that out. There are still a lot of things that are tough, but I'm just saying, you just read it one time, you'll learn more after you read it than when you did if you didn't read it. But Romans can be one of the most difficult ones. I would say probably it is the most difficult. Revelations is about end times. Not much you're going to do about changing end times. Romans talks about right now. Okay? Romans talks about some good stuff. Verse 1, chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith. We got that now? We got that? We just talked about that in Romans chapter 3. We're righteous through faith in who? In Jesus Christ, right? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, what do we have? Now we have peace, okay? We have peace. We have that peace. How? With, through God. How? Our Lord Jesus Christ, through the Lord. You know when I know someone has really got a good relationship with the Lord and living and just being trying to live out, they have an inner peace. And it shines even on the outside. They have a peace. Doesn't mean they don't fret one day or two. Or they might not stress or get a little upset about something. But there's an inner peace that you can't buy. The world can't have it. The world don't have it. The world does not have it. Open your eyes. Just look at the one thing, peace. We all talk about world peace. But really what's more important is spiritual peace. Folks, I have spiritual peace. And this is because I said I have it. It says, here we go. We have peace. And we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saying we have these things because God's Word tells us we have these things. Not because I'm saying it. I'm just relating to you what I'm reading. Then he says, we have also obtained. I love what God does. He doesn't stop giving. He just doesn't stop giving. He says, we have also obtained access through Him by faith. Once again, we get access through to the Lord. How to God? By our faith into the grace into which we stand, which before we couldn't stand. Now we can stand because we stand on Christ and we rejoice in the hope. There's that word hope. Now we can rejoice in what? In the hope of the glory of God. Man, we have peace. We have access. We can stand and we rejoice in the hope. And He's not done. Listen, you are all more blessed. We are more blessed than we think. Verse 3 says, and not only that, let's keep on going, right? And not only that, but we also rejoice in our afflictions. Even if they got, listen, there's a difference between those folks and the folks we got today. Boy, we whiners. Those people, you'd be out there getting arrested. Those people be thrown in the Colosseum. Those people was getting in trouble. Those people were being persecuted, and some still are today. And we're whining and crying about this and that. I'm working too hard in the ministry. I got this going on. I got that going on. I got all these problems, and I got this. Yes, we do have problems. Listen, take it to the Lord. The Bible says we are to go boldly, with confidence to the Lord. Go boldly to the throne with confidence. He's my God. He's my Savior. He's my Creator. I'm coming to Him. I'm crawling to Him with all my stuff because I know this. He'll take care of it. He's helped me so many times in the past. What makes me think He's not going to help me today? And he already knows the problems that you got. But we want to take him to understand that we do need help from time to time. We need to have people need to listen to it. But listen, a lot of times you have the answer to the problems that you have. We just don't want to do it. But we also rejoice in our afflictions because we know that affliction produces endurance. This is not a sprint, folks. This is a journey. This is a marathon. This life is a marathon. I'll say it this way. This life is a marathon till the day you die. And then it becomes an everlasting journey. So we need endurance as a believer. But endurance produces proven character. See, what is God doing? The discipling, he just continues to give you more and more to strengthen you. So when you get endurance, it produces proven character. And proven character produces hope. This hope will not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. What? God's love has been poured into our hearts? Don't ever say that you're not loved. God loves you. You have God, you have Jesus Christ, you have His love. You are loved every day. And when you don't want to be loved, He's going to love you anyway. And then He says this thing at the end. How do we get that? He says, through the Holy Spirit. So what is the Holy Spirit? It's God's Spirit. God's Spirit. Love is inside of us. That's hard to understand, but God has put a love inside of us that was given to us by the Holy Spirit, which means God's Spirit, who is given to us. Wow. So this righteousness is very important. All this stuff we're talking about is very important. But each one of them talked about our faith. Each one of them talked about our faith. And now I want to share something with you, some of the harder part of what I want to talk about here this morning. Man, do I have to be careful. I love my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I know you do too. We don't always agree. Amen? And I'm not going to be one of those guys that says, well, you'll be wrong the rest of your life and I'll be right. I'm not going to say that. I've heard people say that in the pulpit. I'm just going to share with you what God's Word says. And then you can go back and decipher it yourself. But God gave us the Holy Spirit, didn't He? You know that Holy Spirit's very important. We talk about God, we talk about Jesus, and I'm telling you what, you can't have one without the other. You just can't. But the Holy Spirit is the same. We need the Holy Spirit. Jesus talked about it in John chapter 17, the Holy Spirit's coming. We need the Holy Spirit. It encourages us, it leads us. It's the voice of God that speaks through us, that we know what to do in certain circumstances and situations and decisions. We listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Last week, it was the message where you can hear that He says, this is the way. When you hear His voice to the left or the right, you go. But I want to share with you today that your salvation is eternal. You have salvation, you're not going to lose it. Now right there, that statement I said is it would also upset a few other denominations. I'm not going to tell you how I argue that statement on their beliefs, but I'm going to share with you the foundation of what I believe is eternal security. I'll tell you what, once I got saved, I believed I was saved to the day of redemption. How do I know that? Because what it says in Ephesians. It says this in Ephesians chapter 1, 13, 14. When you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed in Him, you were also sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. He is the down payment of our inheritance for the redemption of the possession to the praise of His glory. Amen? So here it is. When you heard the message of the truth, what? What is the truth? It is the gospel. The gospel of what? Of my salvation. And when I received, and when you believed, once I believed, once you believed, you were sealed. Come on now. Now this is the part where I don't usually kick this in, but we Baptists. And we got our problems in the Southern Baptists, but we Baptists and we believe in eternal security. But he says, you were sealed with the day, or you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. When you got that, let me tell you, God did not make a mistake by giving you the Holy Spirit. When you come to that realization that you were a sinner, that you needed salvation, and you received Jesus Christ, he took that in, and when he knew it was real from your heart, some people don't do it from their heart, some people just do it for other reasons, but when you did it with your heart, he gives you, he seals you with his Holy Spirit. That means you're his. God's not going to deposit something in you and keep taking it in and out every time you want to come. I've been to part of churches where you just want, you got to get saved. And people coming down getting saved every other week. God made a sin. Going to go get saved again. Got to get saved again. Got to get saved. And what did I talk about a foundation about like this? And I got saved. It was the real deal. Now, does that mean that we ain't mess up? Yeah, we mess up. That's when the scriptures come into play. God disciplines those whom he loves. Lost people, God going to judge. But the believers, he disciplines. My salvation is real. If you are saved today and you have salvation, you have been sealed. Okay? But also in Ephesians chapter 4:30, which says this, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. There is a warning not to go back and live the way that we used to live. But because he says this, because you don't grieve the Holy Spirit. When you are not living the right for the God, the Holy Spirit, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. But he says, by whom you were sealed. Remember, you were sealed for the day of redemption. When all Christians will experience the resurrection, their new life, their new bodies. You were sealed for that day. You were sealed for that day. Now I'll tell you, when you get salvation, you get the whole package. And you don't even understand it all. But God is patient. But then he knows we start here, but we should grow and begin to understand that these scriptures are very powerful. Jesus said in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice. How do you know the voice? It's the Holy Spirit, right? He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. What? Eternal life. And they will never perish, ever. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. The Father and I are one. They together. But we with them too. My salvation is solid this morning. And it doesn't depend if I woke up grumpy, grouchy, or me and Carla got into it, or I got into it with a staff member, or whatever. That salvation is still solid. Because when you came to that day of your reckoning, and you came to that day from reckoning to salvation, it was the real deal. Jesus don't say 50% or 75%. None of that percent is on you, except you just have faith. All the work has been done by Jesus and the Father. And no one can snatch you out of his hand. Woo! God has a grip on you. Like you got a grip on your kids. Romans also tells us in Romans 8, 38, 39, he says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you hear it again? That is in Christ Jesus. That is in Christ Jesus. It's always in Christ. God and Jesus are there, but it's always getting to God through Christ. It's always through Jesus Christ. You can't have a relationship with God if you don't have one with Jesus. John chapter 6, Jesus says this, "This is the will of him who sent me." Who sent him? God did. His Father did. "This is the will of him who sent me, that I should not lose any of those he has given to me, but should raise them up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." That's a promise. Now some will go into predestination here, and I don't see that as God would say that you're saved, you're not going to be saved, you're saved, you're not going to listen. That was for those who believed out of faith, predestined for all those who were going to have faith in Jesus. And that's the predestined piece. The promise for those who choose Jesus. That's the promise. The promise isn't that God's going, you're not going to save, you're not going to get saved. He's not going around picking. He gives us free will to choose. And the promise is for all those who choose Jesus. We just went a quarter of an inch. We just went a quarter of an inch and hoping that you can grasp that. John chapter 5 says this, "I assure you." And I'll tell you what, when Jesus says, "I assure you," he's assuring you. "I assure you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who has sent me has eternal life and will not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life." That is the spiritual death to spiritual life. Folks, I don't know about you, but I've read 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 scriptures, six areas that tells me that my salvation is solid. That I've got eternal life with Jesus Christ. That I don't have to go through this life. When I came saved, I became saved, I don't have to think that, oh, yesterday or today, I just lost my salvation. I don't have to think about, I got to get baptized for the 14th time. But my salvation was solid. And your relationship might not be solid with Jesus, but if you have salvation, your salvation is still solid. Come on, how many of y'all have perfect kids? You still love them? Yeah. They break your heart sometimes? Oh, yeah. You long for them to come through the door? Oh, yeah. And our Father does the same thing. His heart is broken. We break his heart many times. But we're still family. He's not going to remove your salvation. Not because I say so, because he says so. You are sealed. But first you have to believe. You're either today, you're either righteous because you have Jesus Christ, or you're unrighteous because you don't. Doesn't matter really what you say on the stats here. They believe in God, or they believe in heaven, they believe in hell. They both exist whether people believe in them or not. You're going to walk to, I hope today that you walk away knowing my salvation is solid. And if it is solid, and you understand that it is solid, and you know there's a day that when you pass, that there's that promise that's going into effect again, that you will have eternal life, and you won't be separated from God, you'll be with God, you'll be with other believers, then why are we living with the way we're living today? Why are we living the way we're living today? You got one shot around this globe. And every day it turns, you got one less day. Every year it turns, you got one less year. And you don't even know the day of the angel of death comes and knocks on your door. You can't change that. They know when it is. We need to live like we're saved. We need to talk like we're saved. We don't need to be all boasted up in prideful things of like we're better than the rest of the world. But you did receive the best in the world. Let's be all God's called us to be. Live like we're sealed. Be proud in Jesus. Be boastful in the things that God is doing in your life. Be strong in your walk with the Lord. Understanding, knowing that no one can change your destination. But let's grow up and say, okay, I understand that now. And I tell you, if you were struggling with your salvation today, you need to make sure that you have salvation. If you don't, you need to know, because it is a serious deal. It is the most serious question, a decision of your whole life. Is Jesus real? Is he who he says he is? Did God really send his son? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that he died on the cross for all sins of the world? That salvation is offered to anyone and everyone, regardless of race, color, nationality, anything. But all you have to do is reach out and take it. Believe with your heart. Confess it with your mouth. And be saved. And then God says, seal, boom, puts the Holy Spirit in you. When you put the Holy Spirit in you, that is your seal right there. Father, we're getting ready to move into this moment of time of prayer. I pray, Father, your Spirit, we give you free reign here. For this is the time. In Christ's name, amen. Let's